Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing lawyers for global challenges.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Whatever the candidates planned to run on to win the presidency, there's one big issue that has galloped past Iraq, terrorism, and everything else. You know it, we know it, they know it. It's the economy. It's how do we get out of this mess, and then what will the new rules of the road be? That's our issue. This hour, On Point, we're talking with the top economic advisors to candidates McCain and Obama on how they would put the United States back on the path to prosperity. You can join the conversation. What's your question, your advice for the men who have the ear of Obama and McCain on the economy? Who do you trust to change the course that brought us to crisis? We will have top economic advisors Douglas Holtz-Aiken for John McCain and Austin Goolsbee for Barack Obama with us this hour. We turn first to Greg Ipp, U.S. Economics Editor for The Economist for The Big Picture. Greg, thanks very much for being here.
Hello, Tom.
Can you draw a kind of broad map of the philosophical or ideological approach these two candidates would take at this point? Or has the crisis forced everybody into a narrower band of options?
You know, Tom, 2 or 3 months ago, this would have been a relatively easy sort of comparison to make. Obama was clearly somebody who felt that deregulation had gone too far and that the benefits of free markets and free trade had disproportionately benefited those at the very top. And so if you'd looked through his program, you would have seen a concerted effort to use the power of the government to reestablish more equity in terms of transferring more money from the highest earning taxpayers to the lowest earning and to active government programs and things like renewable energy, worker retraining, and health care to try and address some of the challenges facing the country. Whereas McCain was much more in the traditional Republican mode, where he was generally skeptical of the value of government intervention, very much an uncompromising free trader, and felt that the best solution to the problems of all families was to grow the economy more. And so he focused on a tax cut program that was designed to stimulate investment. Now, as you know, the financial crisis that has been raging since mid-September has kind of overtaken some of those platforms. And we have seen, especially in the case of Mr. McCain, a considerable sort of reorientation to a much more intervention-friendly approach, highlighted by his promise during the debates on Tuesday night to offer a radical new approach to the mortgage restructuring situation.
Does that appear to be an approach that his advisors, and for that matter his party, would support long term? Or is that something just for the crisis and then we're back to the same kind of economics that sadly brought us to this moment?
It's very hard to say exactly at this moment just how much of the philosophical shift that this new approach by the McCain campaign has signaled would last beyond the crisis. Now, this crisis has been going on for well over a year, and I'm certainly not going to guess when it's going to end. So the strains that we're facing right now could be with us for quite a while, so it may be a moot point whether they will shift back again. But the other thing to remember, Tom, is that it seems almost certain that if McCain won the election, he'd be facing a very Democratic Congress, and that would considerably constrain his ability to pursue a more deregulatory approach. So I suspect, even if it wasn't his first inclination, that the more interventionist approach he's outlining here would be with us for a while if he were to implement it as president.
And if it's President Barack Obama with that Democratic Congress, how much change, how significant a reorientation of the American economy and the sort of regulatory structure for it, the incentives within it, would you anticipate, Greg?
I would certainly anticipate a significant shift from this administration and probably from the program that a President McCain would pursue. The tax cuts that the Bush administration brought about in 2001 and 2003 had the effect, whether or not that was the intention, of shifting the distribution of after-tax income much more towards the wealthy. And that tended to aggravate a pre-existing trend to widening inequality in our economy. And President Obama would use a tax system to try and reverse that, again, by shifting more income from those at the top to the 90% at the bottom. He would also be much more inclined to do things, for example, more tightly regulate the financial system. He would be much more skeptical about free trade deals and attempt to attach things like labor conditions to those deals. And a very important part of his program, which doesn't get very much attention, is that he would make it easier for unions to organize currently non-unionized factories and companies, and that would have very significant implications for worker bargaining power and other issues like that.
You have surveyed economists for your publication to see what they think of the two candidates' broad position on the economy. What did you find from the economists you surveyed?
That's quite striking, Tom, and I was personally surprised by the results. We went to a sample of economists who are affiliated with the National Bureau of Economic Research, which is considered the premier academic research organization in the country, and it's nonpartisan. And the results were quite striking. We found a very large majority said that Obama's economic plan was superior, that Obama had the better grasp of economics, and that Obama was more likely to pick a better economic team. And now, one caveat is that the respondents were disproportionately Democratic. I think it was something like more than 40% identified themselves as Democrats, and only about 10% as Republicans. But even if you look at those who don't identify with either party, it was still a strong majority favoring Obama.
And why? Is it clear? What is it about Obama's plan that those responding were responding positively to?
I think it might have been less that Obama's plan was seen as a paragon of economic virtue, and more that they're very suspicious of some of the aspects of the McCain plan, in particular the plan to increase the tax cuts, not only to extend President Bush's tax cuts, but to add new tax cuts, especially for the corporate sector, without any clear vision about how they would be paid for. And also, I think that his sort of twisting and turning the last few months on issues like the financial crisis has raised questions about, just how coherent a program he would have in place for dealing with what is, you know, a very much a fluid situation in the financial markets.
Greg Ipp, U.S. economics editor with The Economist magazine. Please stand by. We're going to ask you to stick with us this hour as we talk with the top advisors to each of the two candidates. We will hear in a few moments from Douglas Holtz Aiken, senior policy advisor to John McCain. Joining us right now from Chicago is Austin Goolsbee, senior economic advisor to the Obama campaign, professor of economics at the University of Chicago's Graduate School of Business. Austin Goolsbee, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. We've got a crisis on our hands. If it's President Obama, should Americans expect a kind of reorientation of the U.S. economy on a par with what FDR did after the crash and depression in the 1930s?
Well, I don't know how closely the historical parallels are. But I do know that this is certainly the most severe financial crisis we've faced since the 1930s, and that we now have a new priority, whoever the president is going to be, is preventing the economy from going into a very serious downturn. So there's no question you're going to see a total reorientation of the economic program and approach if Senator Obama were to become the president. If Senator Obama has anything to do with it, we would be setting the priority to keep us from going into some truly cataclysmic event.
John McCain's instincts may have been more conservative, but the crisis we're in already, as Greg Ipp says, have pushed the McCain campaign toward proposals that we had not heard from them before. So how different do you expect? On the other side of this meltdown, Mr. Goolsbee, how different do you expect economic policies would be and why?
Well, I think they would be pretty different, and I'll tell you why. And to answer that, I think your statement that is kind of suggesting, well, he used to be a radical deregulator, right-wing approach to economics, and now he's shifted to more interventionist. I don't actually accept the premise of that very well. I think if you look at the facts, there are some things in which he's called for reasonable policies now and a shift from where he was before. But there are a number of other things where he's a little bit twisting back and forth, as Greg said at the beginning. It's clear that Senator McCain is not comfortable when the subject is the economy, and his own advisors have been saying, if this election is about the economic crisis, we're going to lose, so we're going to try to change the subject. So I think you would see very different because, one, Senator Obama has got a clear philosophy that he has been outlining about financial oversight and about economic crisis for more than a year. So you could trust that he's going to stand by that economic approach, if you will, where McCain has gone back and forth. And second, if you look at the specific ideas that Senator Obama has put forward, I believe they are more comprehensive and clearer as to how they would get the economy growing again than what McCain has proposed. The centerpiece of McCain's economic approach, as opposed to his newfound desire to re-regulate the financial industry, his economic approach is based on the same trickle-down philosophy that George Bush had. It's for literally doubling the tax cuts that George Bush passed. So tax cuts twice as big and still not paid for, and counting on the money going to major corporations and very high-income people to stimulate investment and trickle down to everyone else. And my read of the last 8 years is that's exactly what we tried. It didn't work. It's exactly what got us where we are today. So it strikes me that Senator Obama's approach, where you give the relief to the people that are struggling, is far more likely to work.
Just in the past couple of days, the debate in Nashville the other night, John McCain says he will dive into the mortgage problem with both feet, have the government buy up all kinds of bad mortgages, and then offer refinance packages to homeowners. That sounds like pretty direct relief.
Well, he said he's diving in with both feet, but I would refer to it a little more as a belly flop, because what we have found is that he changed his policy overnight, and the thing that he changed was he took the announced policy at the debate was actually simply a restatement of a policy we already passed. We passed it 3 months ago and he voted for it, and it was reauthorized for the Treasury to get into the mortgage market as part of the rescue. But the thing he changed yesterday is they have now committed to overpaying for the mortgages so that we are going to give direct, massive, multi-billion dollar subsidies to the very irresponsible lenders that caused the problem.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the top economic advisors to McCain and Obama about how each would face the crisis we're in and try to put this country back on a path to prosperity. U.S. economics editor for The Economist, Greg Ipp, has been with us. We've been speaking with Austin Goolsbee, senior economic advisor to the Obama campaign. We're joined right now from Arlington, Virginia, by Douglas Holtz Aiken, senior policy advisor on the economy to John McCain, former director of the Congressional Budget Office. Douglas Holtz Aiken, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Austin Goolsbee says what John McCain offers, apart from the emergency responses of the moment, is more trickle-down economics like the country has had for, well, you name the number of years. Is that how you'd characterize it or not?
Well, Austin and Senator Obama like to run against George Bush because I think they can beat George Bush. But John McCain's offering a very different vision. Obviously, the first and greatest concern at the moment is the financial crisis that we face. As I hope the listeners know, Senator McCain spent an enormous amount of his personal time and effort to change the initial response to this crisis from a $700 billion blank check to Secretary Paulson and the administration into a piece of legislation that passed in a bipartisan fashion and contained some protections for the taxpayers, some oversight of the operation of these, and hopefully the transparency and the criteria for who gets helped and who doesn't by this. And on Tuesday night, he announced that he thinks that this authority, in, combined with an additional $300 billion that was given earlier this year, almost $1 trillion of ability to address this crisis, he thinks that some of this should be targeted to struggling homeowners in America so that we can get them out of mortgages that are they are unable to handle, get them out of positions where the loans are worth more than their houses. That could stabilize the housing finance market, could stabilize a lot of these complicated securities based on mortgages, and really address both the homeownership crisis and also the financial crisis. So he's put this resurgence plan on the table. Senator Obama, of course, has done something that's characteristic in this campaign. The night Senator McCain announced it, he said, oh, that's my idea, and then the next day he attacked John McCain. Flipping positions is not unusual, but why he would want to oppose helping homeowners, we're a bit baffled.
I'm sure we'll hear pushback on that, and we'll look at the details of what John McCain is proposing, but I'm still really interested, and I'm sure many listeners are, in this fundamental direction of a McCain administration on economics. I'm reading here, Mr. Holtz Aiken, from Nina Easton, Washington editor for Fortune magazine. And after the Nashville debate, she wrote, This is referring to John McCain's proposal on buying up mortgages. She wrote, minutes into last night's presidential debate, the already listing ship of free market republicanism groaned, keeled over, and began a long journey to the bottom of the political seas, suggesting John McCain's going to walk away from the free market doctrine that has been at the heart of the Republican Party and politics for decades now. What do you say to that?
I think that's a great rhetoric, but the reality is that McCain is proposing to address the nation's problems. The top priority in this campaign is to put in Washington an administration that is willing to have a government that's responsive to the needs of the American people, to put for the first time something above party politics, put it above personal political ambition. And John McCain has a long history of doing the difficult things that aren't necessarily in his narrow political interest.
But economic philosophy comes along with that, and it looks to this this editor, in any case, like a real shift. I think voters are trying to get a handle on where he's really coming from. Is this a Republican, something else? Is he a free market guy and deregulation as he was a few months ago, or something new and different now?
He's always been a balancer. If you look at his history on the Commerce Committee, he has chosen the path that would best serve the American consumer, and that includes both deregulation moves, as in the case of telecommunications and the kinds of things that have benefited us so greatly with wireless technologies and the like, and also places where he believes stronger regulation is appropriate. That was true with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It was true with tobacco. And so there's no way to, you know, put these casual labels on John McCain. He's a man who's interested in balancing the forces, taking advantage of market forces, but making sure that the government has a level playing field and the consumers benefit as a result.
Now, we've only got you for this segment of our conversation, but I want to get Austin Goolsbee to respond on this very large challenge right now of mortgages underwater. One in six Americans underwater on their homes, owing more than the homes are worth at this point. John McCain addressing that in Nashville this week. Austin Goolsbee, Douglas Holtz Aiken for John McCain says, you know, Barack Obama has gone back and forth. That McCain's got the plan here. What do you think of what McCain's proposing, and would Obama support something different or very similar?
Well, Tom, as I told you, the only thing that changed was they went and scrubbed the website of John McCain and changed the policy. At the debate, they announced a policy that we already enacted. And you heard Doug say that we authorized in the Dodd-Frank bill 3 months ago to have the government start guaranteeing mortgages to restructure for people who are underwater, and that we reauthorized the Treasury to do it in the rescue plan. That part we totally agreed with. And in fact, it was John McCain who opposed it when they first did it and ended up voting in favor of those bills.
But I think there's a difference here.
But what changed? Mm-hmm. There is a major difference. And what changed is overnight they removed one sentence. It was the sentence that said lenders will be required to share in the sacrifice. And they started agreeing the McCain plan would pay the face value of the mortgages. That is, it would dramatically overpay in excess of the market value of the mortgages and thereby give a massive subsidy at taxpayer expense to the very irresponsible lenders that created this problem. And Barack Obama absolutely does not support that.
Douglas Holtz Aiken, I'm reading in the Wall Street Journal today. They're saying Obama's path, the earlier path described, would force those lenders to take a haircut on the loans that they made, that McCain would not. It's being seen in some quarters as a kind of big gift to mortgage lenders, including predatory mortgage lenders. What do you say to that?
Well, I find it humorous that Senator Obama and Austin have finally woken up to the fact that the taxpayers' dollars are valuable. They proposed $860 billion in new spending through the course of this campaign, and so for them to suddenly care about the taxpayer must mean they're trying to change the subject. The reality is this. John McCain, as early as last April, put forward a plan that was targeted, very similar, in fact, to the Dodd-Frank legislation, targeted on particular homeowners, required a voluntary participation of the lender, the homeowner, and got an FHA guarantee. Those plans are estimated to help about 500,000 people, well less than a million. And in an economy that faces the scale of problems that we now face, Senator McCain understands and is in touch with the reality that we need to do something more dramatic to stabilize financial markets. It's now a global crisis. We need to stabilize the root of that crisis, which is the housing market. He doesn't like the fact that we have to be here. But given that the Congress has already allocated the resources, why simply throw that money at buying up securities from Wall Street firms? Why not both stabilize financial markets and help American homeowners? And that would be a tremendously improved use of this money that has always been his goal. From the moment the bailout plan got launched, he's been trying to redirect it to be more effective in the use of these monies. This is just the next step in that. And he certainly is sympathetic to the notion that we wouldn't want to be here. But he's the one who proposed regulating Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to begin with. And it's been the Democrats, including Barack Obama, who have not stood up to do that. We wouldn't be in this problem if we didn't have a $1 trillion portfolio by Fannie and Freddie and subprime mortgages that are never going to get repaid.
So, Austin Goolsbee, I want to get your response on that, but I want to hear from our listeners as well, if we may. Lots of them waiting to come in. Let's go to Nashville where the debates were, and Sharon, you're on the air with Douglas Holtz Aiken and Austin Goolsbee.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Something I haven't heard anybody talk about is how trickle-down started under Ronald Reagan. One thing they did is take out the most expensive household item from anyone's household budget, which is the cost of housing. They removed that from the consumer price index to make inflation look artificially low. That affected the amount of raises that employers based their raises on for people and Social Security. And I think that was a big part of starting the flattening of people's income.
There's a lot of talk about people's income in the middle class in particular. Is that your main concern, Sharon?
That's one of them. The other is that it is absolutely outrageous that corporations can get away with paying virtually no tax by moving their addresses offshore. That is just criminal, because all the billions of dollars that we are in debt to China and, you know, the Saudis, mm-hmm. you know, a huge amount of tax revenue is being lost by giving all these tax breaks to these corporations.
Sharon, let us pick those up. Austin Goolsbee, first to you, on middle-class incomes and how they're calculated and what your candidate would do to goose them.
Okay, she's got two different questions. Mm-hmm. One is about housing and income, and the mm-hmm. other is about taxes overseas. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the taxes. Barack Obama, from the beginning and in his time in the Senate, has been very clear in identifying the parts of the tax code that are subsidizing or giving encouragement for U.S. companies to move their operations and move their income overseas. Some of those include the use of these Caribbean tax havens, which are like what Sharon is describing.
Mm-hmm.
We have been extremely critical of Senator McCain for defending those tax breaks. And in fact, at one point in the campaign, Senator McCain actually went to Bermuda to describe that he wasn't going to get rid of the tax loopholes that allow the companies to go to Bermuda. So I thought that is almost unbelievable. On the issue of middle-class incomes, that has been the central component of Barack Obama's economic agenda, is that we shouldn't gear our tax cutting to big corporations and to very high-income people. We ought to have very substantial tax cuts for the 95% of Americans that are making less than $150,000 a year, that we ought to give them substantial tax relief, and that when we look at this housing situation, to return to the previous discussion, it's not helping the situation to say, yeah, we need to put more money into housing. Let's give it to the very irresponsible lenders who created this problem. And that is what the McCain plan is now doing.
Douglas Holtz, secondly, let me put those to you. First, middle-class incomes and what the fundamental philosophy would be in a McCain administration. How would it be different from George Bush and trickle-down of people have asked earlier? Corporate taxes. And we haven't got you for long. I wish you'd look also at Hank Paulson talking about nationalizing American banks. Where does John McCain stand on that?
Well, let's do them in reverse order. Number one, the administration went to the Congress with a blank check proposal for $700 billion and talked exclusively about buying securities from Wall Street firms, evidently the policy that Obama wants to defend. There was discussion by the Congress of putting in an insurance plan, putting in loan opportunities. There was never a word of public discussion about putting taxpayer money into financial firms as equity investments and de facto nationalizing them. I think that's not the way an administration should conduct itself. That's at odds with the notion that we have an informed democracy with all of its leadership agreeing on the policies.
It's a Republican administration proposing it.
But it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or Democratic administration. Mm-hmm. It's not the way things should be done in the United States, and that's very disturbing if that's the route they intend to take. On the middle-class income, certainly we have seen the middle class greatly stressed in recent years. One of the reasons they're stressed is the fact that when they get an increase in compensation, it's entirely eaten up by health care costs. Senator McCain has a very strong proposal to change the way medicine is practiced in America, to move us away from an expensive system where we treat people in inappropriate settings like emergency rooms in very high-cost ways, and instead reward the prevention, the wellness, the coordinated care of a medical home so that the system works for American families and not against them. And he can augment their ability to do this on a day-to-day basis with a tax proposal that puts $5,000 in the hands of every family that doesn't have health insurance, increases the cash available for those who already have an employer plan, which they get to keep. And on balance, between that and a greater shielding of income because of the dependent exemption, there'd be a bigger middle-class tax cut for Senator McCain than Senator Obama. I think the key difference is, you know, Senator McCain understands that it's not taxes that are going to determine your prosperity. It's not your health insurance. It's the job. And the big difference between Senator McCain and Senator Obama is the willingness to do the things that will keep jobs and create jobs in America. Senator Obama wants to have higher taxes on small business. He wants to have an expensive mandate on employers. He's really harmed our ability to have international trade agreements and has no energy policy that would allow us to have the growth we need.
Let me just ask you, though, keeping jobs in the way you're describing, in the kind of general philosophy you're describing, is what Americans have heard about for a long time, and now we've got a crisis on our hands.
So we have certainly a crisis, but in the midst of that crisis, small businesses, those with less than 50 employees, have created 331,000 jobs this year. And so the very first thing that any sensible economic policy should protect is the ability of those small businesses to continue to do that. And raising their taxes, saddling them with expensive mandates, harming their ability to sell their products around the globe, and giving them no options other than being held hostage to international oil markets is not a route for success.
I've just got you for a bit longer. We'll come to Austin Goolsbee. Greg Ipp with The Economist, you're listening closely. Do you hear a fundamental shift in U.S. economic policy beyond the crisis management proposals put forward and what Douglas Holtz-Eakin is describing here or not?
No, I don't really, Tom. And I think that it's important to remember that the steps that we take right now to address this crisis, you want to think carefully about how you deal with some of the unintended consequences once the crisis is over. And although you could sort of paint McCain as being inconsistent because, you know, he started out as fundamentally, unsympathetic to increased regulation, now he seems to be changing back on that, I think you'd want to be careful about adopting too rigid an ideological approach to this. And in fairness to the McCain plan, yes, it's more expensive, but one of the reasons we haven't made more headway to date in terms of restructuring mortgages is because lenders keep trying to hold out for a higher price. So that's something that needs to be kept in mind. One thing that Doug said that did strike me was the very low regard he held for the proposal now apparently on the table that the Treasury will use some of the $700 billion it has to purchase equity stakes in banks. Given the severity of the crisis right now, that could happen sooner rather than later, and it will be very interesting for the public policy debate to hear what the candidates think about that.
Douglas Holtz-Eakin, we've just got you 20 seconds more. Would a President McCain be fundamentally anti-regulation or not?
No. I mean, I think that's a terrible mischaracterization of his entire career, especially given the specifics on his regulation in tobacco, his willingness to address global climate change, the willingness to regulate Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. I do want to mention to Greg's point about putting equity into financial institutions. My argument was not one about the economics, and we can have a good debate about the economics. My argument was about how you should conduct the public policy discussion. This has been a reactive administration to all these crises almost by necessity. This bill was the chance to get ahead, lay out your design, talk about how you'd address, lay out criteria for intervention and the nature of it, and this proposal,
and
the extra
turn the corner.
In that debate.
Douglas Holtz-Eakin, regrettably, I know we've agreed we have to let you go. We thank you for joining us from the McCain camp. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Been talking today with the top economic advisors to John McCain and Barack Obama about how each would try to put this country back on a path to prosperity. And we're juggling their availability here, trying to be as fair as we can, given the availability that's been offered to us. Douglas Holtz Aiken, Senior Policy Advisor for John McCain, was just with us. I'm sorry we had to let him go, but that's his schedule. He was invited for the entire hour. Austin Goolsbee is with us from Chicago, Senior Economic Advisor to the Obama campaign. Greg Ipp is also with us, U.S. Economics Editor for The Economist magazine, listening along as our kind of referee and informed journalist with us at the same time. Let's get a call from Elkton, Virginia. And Doug, we've got Austin Goolsbee with us. What's your question?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I would like to know what your candidate will, what are the top five things that your candidate is going to do to instill confidence back into the consumer to begin spending again?
Austin Goolsbee.
Well, look, Doug raises a great issue, which has been the collapse of consumer confidence and also the collapse of our confidence in financial markets is absolutely central to what has happened both in the wider economy and on the stock market. Now, Barack Obama was saying more than a year ago that we had to have, number one, strong, robust oversight of financial markets, or we threatened to lose public confidence in our financial institutions and that it would have grave consequences. Now, that is exactly what happened. So step number one, he asked for five. I don't know that we have time to go through all five, but number one, we must reestablish public trust in the capital markets through oversight. Number two, Barack Obama is for providing substantial tax relief to the 95% of people who make less than $150,000 a year. And he's outlined a paid-for tax plan that would do exactly that, to restore confidence. Number three, rebuilding and making more cost-effective and affordable the healthcare system so that we can cover the people that are uninsured. And unlike what Doug Holtz Aiken was saying, we don't want to go in the direction that McCain is describing, because under McCain's plan, they're offering to give you a tax credit to pay for health care. That credit goes directly to the insurance company, and you count on the insurance company passing the savings on to you. Mm. And the way they pay for that credit is by raising the taxes on you, the worker, that you are going to have to pay taxes on your health care as if it were cash income.
But let me ask you about that point, if I may. The one thing about McCain's plan on health care that I've seen turns people's attention is that it does get the consumer's kind of skin in the game here. They're out shopping. They're shopping for the best plan they can get, and maybe that helps put a brake on health care costs, which have grown so rapidly.
I think you need to be extremely careful with that. The way Obama does it is through direct cost containment measures, like putting the emphasis on preventive care and chronic disease management, putting the emphasis on the use of information technology, doing comparative effectiveness research at which treatments are more effective for less money, the things that the health experts say would work. Under the McCain plan, the primary way that they're saving money is by shoving people out into the individual market, and up to 20 million people would lose their employer-based health care. They would be sent out into the individual market. And as everyone knows who has tried to buy health care in the individual market, if you are already sick, if you have had cancer, if you have a family member with heart disease, if your child has some medical condition, you can't get insurance. So how is that going to work? Yes, the insurance company saves costs because they exclude the sick. That's exactly what's wrong with the healthcare system. That's not the solution to the healthcare system.
I'm sure Doug is still listening on consumer confidence. You've got tax policy out there. You've got healthcare policy. Some people may be wondering if there's not more immediate steps, given that markets have been crashing around us right now this week.
Well, almost all of these are immediate steps. He's called for. Senator Obama was early out front calling for immediate tax relief to go to people as a form of stimulus, and is calling for a second round of stimulus after we've lost jobs for nine consecutive months and are down 750,000 jobs. So that is an immediate measure. Health care is a second measure. On the financial system, Senator Obama was for the approaches on housing 3 months ago, which we're now about to start enacting. They've worked out the criteria. And in terms of the rescue, Obama was for doing something. It was the Democrats and Senator Obama that insisted that we make this thing a net cost of zero to the taxpayer. That if, after we do the program, we find that the Treasury, it has ended up costing money to buy these things and resell them, then the financial industry will pay the difference. So taxpayers will not have to pay a dime for this thing.
What about
so
Hank,
that is another immediate measure.
What about Hank Paulson's describing the possibility that the government might step in and actually invest in banks? It's been described as nationalizing
yes.
U.S. banks. You heard Douglas Holtz-Eakin very skeptical on that front. What about you in the Obama campaign? Good idea or bad?
To me. Well, look, that's clearly outlined in his authority in the bill. I was actually quite shocked. Doug Holtz-Eakin wasn't skeptical. He was outright opposed to it. He appears not to remember that in the bill that was passed, the government is getting warrants in the banks, that it's the people who are that they're buying the securities from, the government gets an upside. John McCain himself said the government ought to get an upside. And this direct infusion of capital into the banks, the government takes an upside. It is, I might point out, almost exactly what the government did with AIG. They gave them money and took equity. And John McCain supported that action. So I was really shocked to hear Doug Holtz-Eakin say he thought that in principle it's a terrible idea and one that we can't do. Because what's clear is the banks are over-leveraged and undercapitalized, and we are at the precipice of a very, very dangerous situation where you could have banks failing all over the place. If we get to a situation like that, the government must consider all possible options to prevent us from going into a very deep recession.
And I wish
Tom,
you
could I jump in here
yes,
for
Greg,
a second?
Yes, Greg, please. Yes.
Sure. Austin, I wanted to pinpoint something here. I think there's an important distinction between the equity warrants that the government would receive as payment, essentially, for buying bad assets from the banks versus stepping in there and actually purchasing preferred or common equity to shore up the capital
directly.
Base of the banks. That's a very different sort of thing on the table. And you're right, that is allowed in the legislation. But I think it is fair to say that was not envisioned as the primary approach to this crisis. How would Senator Obama feel if that became a focal point in the next few months, even, of how Treasury goes about resolving this crisis?
Austin Goolsbee?
Well, number one, I don't agree that those are very different. Those are just two points along a continuum where the government is providing immediate money and the government is getting back equity in the firms. We did this. We did the exact thing we're describing with AIG. And as I said, Senator McCain supported that action. And now he's saying that we shouldn't consider that in any circumstance with the banks. Senator Obama believes that we must take every reasonable action to prevent this crisis from morphing into a serious recession or worse. And if that means that the banks are massively undercapitalized, then if as long as we protect the taxpayer, as long as we control CEO compensation and don't allow as what happened with AIG, that we give them money and then they go have a $250,000 party at some resort in California. As long as we control management, if the government needs to have an equity stake, at least that gives them an upside and prevents us from going into recession.
I've got a question here from our website, onpointradio.org. Here's a question from Will. He says, I'm concerned that Mr. Obama seems to have dismissed Mr. McCain's idea to address the issue of subprime foreclosures at the homeowner level. I mean, John McCain's talking about coming in on a very large scale, buying up lots and lots of these, refinancing at new rates that sound markedly lower than what a lot of people may have right now. Is Barack Obama prepared to do something similar? Do you have a different idea, better idea?
Hold
or not?
On. With respect to the questioner, I believe that the questioner has mistakenly understood what the McCain program is going to do. The McCain program, as announced at the debate, was simply a restatement of a program that Barack Obama was the lead co-sponsor of and that we already had on the books that was going into effect October 1st. And that is from this Hope for Homeowners Act. It is clearly authorized in the Treasury plan, and Obama is absolutely upfront in the need to address the housing crisis.
Would he then take $300 billion from the $700 billion approved by Congress and put it toward the homeowners directly?
The Dodd-Frank bill authorizes $400 billion. So that is my point is there was nothing new about that. The thing that is new in the McCain plan and that Barack Obama strenuously objects to is the fact that McCain has now said they're going to base the payments on the face value of the mortgages. So just to be completely clear.
So the mortgage company would get everything back.
Mm-hmm. The mortgage company will be made whole even if the mortgage company lied about the value of the mortgage. Even if the mortgage company engaged in appraisal fraud to drive up the value of your mortgage. Under the McCain plan, they will just go take at face value the mortgage that you drove up in a fraudulent manner, and they will pay you whatever you said it was worth.
Greg?
Now, that is unbelievably outrageous.
Greg, yep.
Yeah, I wanted to point out, actually, in fairness to the McCain plan, there is an important distinction, at least in the approach that's been described, from what has already been authorized. And that is under the McCain program, at least as I understand it, the government would approach the borrower, the person in the home with the mortgage, as opposed to the lender. And in that way, it would perhaps catalyze a faster resolution, because one of the things that's slowed these efforts down so far is this very agonizing process of negotiating with the lender.
But you're not arguing with the fundamental complaint that Austin Goolsbee has about who gets compensated and how for the original loan.
No, there's no question. I think on the economics, Austin is right, is that the government will end up paying far more under the McCain approach than it will than it would under the existing approach. But I'd point out that it would probably be not wise to become so obsessed with making the taxpayers' money back that you make the program so difficult to execute that nobody participates in it, because then it won't do any good in the economy.
I do not agree with that for two reasons. The first is, in this case, we can discuss what ought to be the prices. How do we get prices to induce the lenders to participate? That is fundamentally completely different from agreeing to pay the face value as stated on the mortgage. That is outrageous and unbelievable, because it gives the biggest subsidy to the lenders that were the most irresponsible and that cheated the most. You cannot just take them at their word, whatever they wrote on a piece of paper. Mm. We will pay them and make them whole. Mm. And the second thing that I would point out is that while McCain's plan is saying they're going to start with the borrowers, make no doubt about it. If you can't go to a borrower and say, let's make a deal, government to borrower, you have to get the approval of the borrower's lender. If they're underwater, you can't refinance their loan unless the guy who has the first mortgage agrees to waive his claim on the house. So whoever you start with is irrelevant. You have to get the lenders to agree. We should do that based on some market value of the property or market value of the loan. We should not be rewarding guys that committed loan fraud, and that's exactly what the McCain plan is going to do.
Nina is calling from St. Johnsbury, Vermont. Nina, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
If someone would please explain the real-time consequences to the large companies if they continue to mismanage their money. I haven't heard anything about how any company will change how their business is going to be run from the inside. And what, if anything, do either candidate intend to do about how big companies run their business, not only how much money executives are paid? Does this have to do, again, with nationalizing banks?
Nina, let us go to Austin Goolsbee, and I guess let's go straight to finance, because that's where the oversight is being talked about most clearly.
Absolutely.
There'll be a lot more oversight. And how do you be sure that you don't overshoot on that and come up from the other direction?
Okay, you're absolutely right. Let's start with financial companies. Things like this. If there is a financial institution, a big one, that they've decided is too big to fail and that can go access money from the U.S. taxpayer through the discount window at the Fed or otherwise in a moment of crisis, Obama has said that those financial institutions must at all times be subject to capital and liquidity requirements. So that is, you wouldn't be telling them how to run their business, but you would be saying you're not allowed to so massively load yourself with debt that if anything goes wrong, you're coming to the U.S. taxpayer to ask for money. You cannot so mismatch your assets and liabilities that you've got things that you're financing for 30 years and you're financing it with overnight money and you don't have any cash in the event of a problem. Okay, so oversight like that puts puts restrictions on what the way people are allowed to manage their money in these big institutions. And there are other examples of that form for financial institutions. And the other example I would give is for regular corporations. Obama has been very clear that we need to orient the tax code. Let's remove the things in the tax code that are encouraging them to behave by moving their operations overseas and moving their money overseas. And instead, let's take that money and let's give tax breaks to companies that build jobs and investments in the United States. That's another way that you're going to influence the way they do their operations that is beneficial to the economy.
And that more broadly than just finance. Greg Ip, in 1 hour is not enough for this big economy and its huge problems, but do you still hear a fundamental choice here? Do you see a fork in the road in the decision voters will be facing in November?
I do, Tom, but I don't think the fork is perhaps as distinct as it was 3 or 4 months ago, because the gravity of the crisis that we're facing, I think, has made even people who started from a more free market bent a bit more cognizant of the need to act here. You know, we have a saying now in Washington, there are no atheists in foxholes, and there are no free market libertarians during financial crises. So I think it's a question of degree, and I still think that from nothing that I've heard from Austin changes my sort of presumption that an Obama administration would be much more willing to use intervention and oversight and regulation with all the possible costs and benefits that entails than a McCain administration.
Austin Gouldsby, we've got 10 seconds here. A real fork in the road or everybody merging?
Oh, a very real fork in the road. We've got to change the direction we've been on. It's what got us into this problem. We got to go a different way.
Austin Gouldsby, Senior Economic Advisor to the Obama campaign. Thank you very much for being with us this hour.
Thank you, Tom.
And our thanks to Douglas Holtz Aiken, Senior Policy Advisor to John McCain on the economy, who joined us earlier in the hour. Greg Ip with The Economist, always great to have you. Thanks very much for being here, Greg.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.